We're here today to remember the life and ministry and impact of Edna Woodall upon all of us. All of you are here today because you have known her, many of you because she has had a very profound impact upon your life in one way or another. Have the privilege today of having the Bible that she used for many years here in the pulpit this morning. About 10 years ago, we had a special surprise celebration and honoring for both of the Woodalls. It was a surprise. A number of folks came from as far away, some as Illinois, to come for a special celebration in honor of their ministry and impact upon those folks. And we had a great celebration that evening. We went out to dinner with the Woodalls and surprised them in the fellowship center, the family center, with a large group of people who had come to remember them and to just say, we appreciate what you've done in our lives. And so at that time, one of the things we did was present both she and Brother Woodall with a Bible. And as I looked through it, this is a well-worn Bible, even in just 10 years. You know, a well-worn Bible is not something you see very frequently anymore, unfortunately. There are many folks who have them, and they're parked on the shelf somewhere, and they carry them to church, and the bindings wear out because they're carried. But the pages are not worn out because they're not read. Edna had the habit of writing in her Bible what sermons she heard. And as I looked through a number of times from Monroe and the date that I preached the sermon, occasionally she'd come to me and say, you know, Pastor, you preached that message before. And I'd say, well, you know, there is only so much Bible, we're not going to add to it. So sometimes you occasionally have to preach from the same passage, but I would be always telling her it was not the same message necessarily, but it was from the same passage. I had to laugh as I was reading a number of times. Of course, Brother Woodall spoke at churches in the area, helping them during times of difficulty when they were without a pastor. And Brother Woodall's initials are WDW. And I wasn't actually sure when I read that what his initials were. I had to do a little investigation on that, for the middle name is not something I was really familiar with. But it looked like she was saying W-O-W. And I just thought that was a tribute to you, that she really loved you while preached this one. And when we first came, I realized that she was not a handshaker, because when I put my hand out to shake, I didn't get a handshake, but I got a hug. How many of you have got a hug? I guess about everybody here. So that was kind of her trademark. Despite Edna's ongoing illness, she was incredibly faithful. You know, it's not many churches that have the former pastor in the church when you come. And Brother Woodall and Edna were both just incredibly supportive and incredibly encouraging and incredibly helpful. Sometimes a little annoying when I didn't do something right with regard to parliamentary procedure. But apart from that, we got by those in a number of times. But she was incredibly encouraging. And many times had said, you know, God touched me through the preaching of your word, preaching of the word of God as you preached it today. From the flyleaf of her Bible, there are several things I just wanted to share here with you as we begin the service today. Her life verse was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the latter years of her life with her ongoing illness, she did a lot of things many folks would not do because of God's strength and God's power in her everyday walk. She also had listed there, very apropos verse in light of her ongoing illness, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, that is, God said unto Paul, because of Paul's suffering, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. She had two favorite Bible characters listed. One was Daniel, and from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this brief quote, my God is able. Remember, they said that you can throw us in the furnace. We're not going to bow down to your idol. My God is able if he chooses to deliver us from this. And, of course, he did. She had also listed there Nehemiah with the quote, so build we the wall, and then this little addition, the church works best when we work together. And how true a statement that is. Do you have a well-worn Bible? We'll put this on display out in the family center when you get there if you want to take a look through it. But it is just well used. A little while ago in our area, there was a sticker on, not a sticker, but a billboard actually. It said something to this effect: you know, you're really not well educated if you don't know the Bible. We have a world around us who know nothing about the Bible, yet they don't believe it. Whether they know it or not, they still don't believe it. But the reality is that this is the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our life, the foundation of our purpose. The reason we get up in the morning and live is because Christ has saved us and transformed us by the power of Christ. I want to thank you for coming. This service is not over by this thank you, by the way. It's just beginning. But I want to thank you for coming and remembering Edna Woodhull. And Brother Woodhull, you've been a great caregiver in these years, and it's been a blessing to observe that over these times. So, she had a couple of favorite hymns, and we're going to sing those this morning. Number one, we're going to sing 375, Oh, to be like thee, and she knows all about that right now. Number 375. We'll sing the first and the fourth verses.
Can I ask you to join me in standing to sing the first and the fourth of 375?
Mark Woodhull, the Woodhull's only son, is going to come and speak to us for a few minutes.
Thank Pastor for letting me go early because I would not be able to go late. From my family, Dad and my family, thank you for being here. We appreciate the ministry that you had with my mom and glad that you are here to honor her in this way. Mom was good at making me do things I didn't want to do, whether it would be singing in front of people or quoting scripture in front of people or playing my trumpet in front of people. She was always good at getting me to do stuff that I knew was a bad idea, but she would have me do it anyway. This is one of those things. As she got older, and usually when Dad was gone, either at the jail or volunteering at the cancer center, We would have those talks, and they always started with, "Now, Mark, when I go." One of those things, one of those bright ideas she had was to have me speak at her funeral. And in fact, in Christmas, we talked about it when I came up, and I said, "Mom," I said, "that's a horrible idea." I said, "Any way you do that, that's a bad idea." I said, "Number one," now again, I had to come up with reasons, or she would never have accepted it. I said, "Number one, you're going to be gone. I'm going to be sad, and I'm going to cry." I said, "Number two, you're in heaven. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to cry." So I told her I was right. I said, number three, you're going to be in heaven, and I'm not, and I'm really going to be jealous and envious, and I'm going to cry. I said, Mom, it's a lose-lose situation, no matter how you cut it. Well, you can see who lost, and here I am. I wrote something for Mom many years ago for an event I think you guys had here at church, and she hung it on the wall in her bedroom, and I'm going to try and get through it if I can. When we lived in the old white parsonage, I can remember going up to the attic to explore and discover the many treasures that it had accumulated over the years. Dane and I were talking earlier. You could go up into that attic and see as clear as day, and there weren't lights up there. It's for other reasons. As I think of the theme for this particular event, it was the Mother's Attic of Memories. I cannot choose just one treasure or secret to write about. Over the years, the memories that I have come to associate with my mom are not events or circumstances, but principles and practices. And honestly, now I could probably add the word people. The memories I have of my mom are those of her loving God with all her heart, soul, body, and mind. Remembering her as a faithful pastor's wife, ministering to people, and giving to people when she had many reasons not to. I can remember her consistent walk with God and her attempts to teach me to do the same. I can remember our clean house, even though my room never was, the clean clothes, all of the goodies. We always had pies, cakes, and cookies that were fresh from the oven. I can remember the physical pain Mom suffered. I can also remember a dependence on the Lord and a forgiveness for the hurts that I still can't understand today. For me to pick one memory would be like going into that attic of that old house and trying to decide which thing would be my favorite. As with the memories of my mom, each one has its own fascination and special place in my mind and my life. Mom, I love you, and I'll see you again someday.
This would be an incredibly sadder day if there was no hope. Edna gave testimony through her life, through a number of means, her personal testimony of salvation and many other means, that she truly knew Christ as her personal Savior. When she was a teenager, she went to a Christian camp one summer and trusted Christ as her Savior, and God transformed her life. Let me just read a few of those scriptures that were ones well known by her, well known probably by many of you. Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not all consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Just a brief verse from Luke chapter 23, the story of Jesus' crucifixion. When he spoke to the thief on the cross, Jesus answered unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Last Monday evening at about 6:40, that verse was true of Edna Woodall. She entered into the place that the Lord had prepared for her. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, the security that we have in Christ. Same in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In all the struggles of life, we have this promise from Romans 8:38. For For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And this wonderful verse of assurance, 2 Corinthians 5, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And finally, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 and 23. Paul wrote at the closing years of his life while he was imprisoned, for me to live is Christ. To Paul, Christ was his whole life. That's what that verse simply means. He wrote in Colossians very simply, when Christ, who is my life, shall appear. Christ was Paul's life. And he said as he continued, for I am in a strait, I am in a difficulty in my heart, between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, that desire had been in Edna Woodall's life for some time with her increasing difficulty, desire to be with Christ, and we have the assurance it is indeed far better. It's a sad time to lose a friend, a mother, a wife. It is a joyous time to know that this really indeed is Mrs. Woodall's gain. Here at First Baptist Church, we live in the ocean area, and it's always a blessing to have folks visit our church. We have numbers of folks who visit year after year in the summertime, and Jeff Buckworth is a dear friend who has visited many years prior to my coming, and the Woodalls have known him for many years, and he has been willing to sing this morning a song that Mrs. Woodall heard a number of times. So, Jeff.
In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see, broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. The glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never, I'll worship him forever, and praise him for his glorious love. Oh, amazing truth to ponder, he whom angel hosts attend, Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder he became the sinner's friend. The glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never, I'll worship him forever, and praise him for his glorious love. When And in heaven we see his glory. What a wonder to behold. We shall give him adoration, as his word has been foretold. The glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love.
Those who best understand the love of God are those who best understand the depth of their sin from which God saved them. That's a great song. Pastor Toby Whitmer is going to come and lead us in prayer. The Woodhalls had a number of churches where they had gone and helped groups to get together and get some organization while they were looking for a pastor. And a number of folks had called here and asked for help. Brother Woodhall went up and was at this new church, new group of people, looking for direction and leadership, I guess, 6 or 8 months, 9 months, quite a while, 10 months. And then Pastor Toby Whitmer came, doing a wonderful job there, and we're going to ask him to come and lead in prayer.
We owe a tremendous amount in our church, and me as a pastor, to the Woodhalls. They plowed a lot of ground so that we could come and plant the seeds of the Word of God and people that were ready to hear it. The Woodhalls are special to Amy and I also because they are the example of we being young in ministry, they having fought a good fight. They are the example of what we would like to be, of how we would like to serve the Lord, and we really appreciate them. Mrs. Woodhall, I'm sure she had the same relationship with many of you. I don't know, maybe. She always came and looked at me like she was keeping her eye on me to make sure that, you know, and I kind of felt like I needed to straighten up a little bit, and I felt very ornery in her presence, and we were just thrilled to have them just not long ago at a Valentine's banquet that Pastor Woodhall spoke in. It was just, you know, you never know the last time you're going to be with someone, and how we should appreciate those that are godly examples. And we'd like to just go as a family to prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon this time. Heavenly Father, I am inadequate to be able to say the things that I really would like to say, but someday, with a purified heart and a glorified spirit and body, I will talk to you the way that I want to. But Lord, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the precious blood of Christ that washes us, that filters out all sin. I thank you, Lord, that you saved Mrs. Woodhall, used her in such a phenomenal, incredible way in her life to make an impact on so many people. You said precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of your saints, and Lord, it is a precious thing that she can be with you right now. I know that. Lord, increase our faith. Let us earnestly, in a jealous way, in a good and a righteous, jealous way, long to be with you. And see her and so many others that have gone on before, Lord. And we know that we are all appearing the great finish line. We know Christ is sufficient. And we know that he is going to embrace us and say, well done. And that's an exciting thing for us, Lord. Help us. Let us not faint. Help us to be faithful, Lord, to the end. I do thank you so much that Mrs. Woodhull fought a good fight and finished her course and kept the faith. And Lord, I thank you for the impact that she made on so many lives, people in our church that she personally won to Christ that are in our church in Newark. And that's an amazing, incredible thing, just a tremendous testimony to her life that she was personally interested in sharing her gospel, the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for what a godly pastor's wife that she was to Pastor Woodhull. I beg you, Lord, for comfort for him, joy and comfort, Lord, losing his precious wife that he loves so much. And I pray that you give him strength in days ahead. And Lord, I do thank you so much for her personal love and care for people, people like me, insignificant people, whatever, Lord, that she felt that personal touch with and a personal hug. And Lord, I thank you. We're going to miss her very, very much, Lord. Thank you for the example she can be, as I've already said, to people like Amy and I who, Lord, we need good, godly example in a day of compromising preachers and quitting preachers. And Lord, I just thank you for Pastor Woodhull and Mrs. Woodhull's example. Lord, I ask you'll bless the remainder of the service. We do pray that there would be a hope and a joy that this is a homegoing. This is not a goodbye. It's a see you later kind of a thing. And I pray that you would bring great celebration to her life. Lord, I pray that the gospel would be clear here. Lord, there's probably people here that do not know you as Savior. I ask that you would just, no matter how many times they've heard a gospel, that it would pierce hearts today. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what this represents. And Lord, put your blessing upon the time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I ask you to join me in singing again, number 416, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. You may remain seated. Number 416.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saved.
Last weeks, the Woodhulls have had a number of cards and letters just expressing their deep gratitude for Mrs. Woodhull and Brother Woodhull ministry both. Just to clarify one thing, if you don't know very well, I believe it was someone mentioned that Brother Woodhull went to prison. He goes there for a Bible study. I just thought I'd tell you that. He's not on work release. He actually had an effective ministry there. For many years, many folks have come to know the Lord. But we have several testimonials. One is going to be from Dane Smith in just a minute, who was here in the early years of First Baptist. This was written by Mary Cecile Temper. And she wrote, I thank God for Mrs. Woodhull's ministry in my life. I would not be serving the Lord today in music and most likely not be a Christian without her. She was selfless, in my direction. She was honest and straightforward concerning the weaknesses and sins in my life. I'm sure she was a wonderful wife, too. I sorrow and rejoice with you at her home going. She is no longer ill. She is singing with the saints. Mary Cecile is a graduate of Lewis Christian Academy and went on to graduate from a Christian college as well. And then this is from Terry Millman Richards, Eddie and Barbara Millman's daughter. This was actually written on the day of Mrs. Woodhull's homegoing, but probably was written earlier in the day and then mailed, but was written on the day of her homegoing. And she said, "Dear Mrs. Woodhull, I'm praying for you in the comfort only Jesus can give you. Words cannot express the gratitude I have for you or impact in my life. Thank you for showing me how to be saved. Thank you for being such a virtuous woman and role model for me as a young girl. Thank you for all of your prayers, love, and support for me over the years. Thank you for always encouraging me to follow God's plan for my life and that His will was best. I've not heard the song Fill My Cup, Lord, in a long time, but when I think of the words, I always hear you singing in my heart, Bread of Heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Thank you for encouraging me to sing and to try to teach me to play the piano." She taught a number of folks and tried to teach a number of others, according to their own testimony. Thank you also for being the best friend my mom ever had. I pray that you will have joy in knowing that many have followed after God because of your testimony and your example. I love you, Terry Millman Richards. Now Dane Smith's going to come share something with us.
Behind every good man, there's a better woman. Amen. And my wife should be up here speaking, because she has some good things to say. And just before the service started, there was almost a jubilee here, it seemed like to me. And she leaned over and said, "This seems like a celebration," and it is. And she also said on the way over to church this morning that she said, "We're going to be missing an AM corner in the church." And that's just so true. For those of you that don't know, I grew up in this church, and I sat right where that man in the white shirt sitting in the second row. It's amazing the things you think of when you're getting ready to say something like this. And I used to sit there, second from the end, next to my brother, and we had this little thing we were doing during church. And you know, last night, for the first time, it occurred to me that people were sitting behind us. And I wondered to see the Millmans, the Plumbers. I was thinking, who were these people that saw us doing this stuff back here? And we were ornery. But one of my favorite memories was when a lady would sit and play the organ, and then she would come down, and another lady would come and get on the piano, and I think it was Mrs. Humphreys. And she would come up and she would sing that favorite hymn of mine, and it was Fill My Cup, Lord. And I used to think, just as a little five-year-old boy sitting there, that it was like an angel singing. It was just wonderful. And every time I ever came back, I wanted her to sing that song. It was just a special, special song. And of course, you know, we grow up and we go away, and that was 50 years ago, but we kept coming back. And for, I don't know why, I guess it's because she just loves everybody, because I'm so insignificant. But every year we would come back, and it was the highlight of our vacation to spend an evening with the Woodhulls. And it was planned. We would write them letters and say, "We're coming. Are you going to be in Lewis?" Because he was always gone. In jail. I thought when Mark said that, I thought, there's people here that probably think he was in jail. But we planned it. And it was always an evening that we spent together. And It wasn't just a dinner. It was a whole evening. Wonderful time. We'd talk about the old things. My boys would. It was just a special time. I was her boy. I don't know why I was her boy. Her boy's here. But I was one of her boys. And another thing that my wife pointed out was her long hugs. She just would grab a hold of you and she wouldn't let go. It was just a long hug. I'll miss that. You'll have to pick up on that, Pastor Woodhall. I don't mind hugging you. Okay. He's down here looking at me funny. But anyway, she was a sweet soul. Her affliction was just that. It was her light affliction. She never complained to us. She just, I'm getting along. I'm doing okay. And she might be wearing a mask. I'm doing okay. I'm getting along. We're serving the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. I wrote her a letter, the last letter that I wrote to her, and I'm going to read portions of it, and I'll leave it at that. Dear Mrs. Woodhall, we plan to be in Lewis pretty soon, and as always, one of the highlights of our trip will be to have you and Pastor Woodhall go out to eat with us. How many years have we been doing this? A lot of years. We always argue over who paid for the last meal, and we argue who is due to pay this year. That meal with you two provides a wonderful memory each year for me to reflect on. By the way, she loved our kids like they were her grandkids. I sent a message to your grandson, Dr. Nathan Smith, in parentheses. Doesn't that sound good? She just loved our Nathan. She used to tell me, whisper in my ear, he is so handsome. Just like a grandmother. Wonderful. Anyway, he's on vacation in California, driving up the California coast. Last night, they were in Yosemite National Park. I sent him a text message. He called. He wanted all the particulars of your health. He said they would be praying for you. Jordan called last night, my youngest son. After hearing of your illness, he said, tell Mrs. Woodhall that I'm praying for her. And then he hesitated, and he said, tell her that I love her. You have endeared yourself to my children, another mark of your sweetness. You always called us your children. How sweet is that? And I'm sure that you did this for everyone. Your reputation has consistently been consistent with a sweet presence of the Lord. You loved us. No matter what, it was an unconditional love. Thank you for loving us so tenderly through the years. Pastor Woodhall tells me you speak often of going to heaven. Ah. To write of this chapter in life seems to me to be the fitting reward to one who has given her life for Christ. Truly, your life has been spent for Christ in his work. In those early years in Lewis, when Eddie Millman was, quote, laying every brick in the church, as my dad tells me, you were a quiet presence supporting Pastor Woodhall. You were my favorite soloist, and my favorite song was Fill My Cup, Lord. How fitting. It described your life. Our blessed Lord had filled your cup, and you used your talents of singing, playing the piano and organ to bless all those around you. I don't know when you will cross over Jordan. But it will be a kindness of the Lord to meet you at the gate to say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of touching a hand and finding it God's. Of Oh, this is so glorious to write about. Terry Millman used to sing that song in the church years ago. How sweet to reflect upon it. I had a dear friend who pastored for 57 years. I often went visiting with him to the hospital when dear folks were very sick. He always prayed with them and offered words of encouragement, just as you've done for so many through the years. But there came the time when that good man was in the hospital near death. We talked that night for a couple of hours. He surprised me when he said, "Dane, I'm afraid." Ah, the weakness of the flesh. The fall comes into play here. And I had the privilege of saying, "Can't you remember all those times you went to the hospital and encouraged people in the Lord? Be encouraged in those same thoughts." He rested sweetly, I suppose, that night, not in the failings of the flesh, but in the sweet comforts of the Scriptures. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He met his Lord the next day. I am sure it was a glorious day of reunion with many whom he had led to the Lord, and I'm sure it was the same with yours. I can hardly write now, as I have wept all through this letter, but I wanted to write. You have been a sweet encouragement to me all through the years. I love you for it. A sweet embrace that always has always been your way of greeting our family. I shall always cherish you and your influence on our entire family. Who knows where our family would be today without your faithful ministry there in Lewis. You had the sweet presence of the Lord about you, and that has made all the difference. We will see you soon, good friend. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you know his sweet presence in this valley that he has called you to walk through. Be assured that he has walked through it. He understands your concerns, your pain, and he is beside you, holding your hand. Alas, he is with you every step of the way. Love, Dane."
Now, just before I speak for a few minutes, one of our men, Don Gall, is going to come and sing a song that Pastor Woodhull requested recently.
Which word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in Blessed Trinity.